Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of It Came From Beneath the Sink by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. The theme was by Dusty. This is a podcast for adults, and this is the first one I'm recording on the Zoom H1 recorder. It's a mobile recorder that should be pretty good quality. We'll see after I compress it and do everything to it. And, the cover of the book, hardcover, ooh, classy Goosebumps, is two eyes looking out from under a sink, and the eyes are that of, let's say, an alien or a crocodile, or the race of reptilians that lives under the Earth's crust that controls the government, the Jews. And, the little tagline says, "It's warm, it's breathing, and it doesn't do dishes." Like men, am I right, ladies? Let's just go shopping, huh, ladies? That's some good stuff right there. Anyway, I'm doing drinking a tall can of Budweiser. Because I'm a goddamn American, that's why I lax, dude. and on to... My cat is attacking my bag, but at least she's not meowing. Chapter 1. Before my brother and I found the strange little creature under the sink, we were a normal, happy family. In fact, I'd have to say we were very lucky. But our luck quickly changed when we pulled that creature from its dark hiding place. The sad, frightening story begins on the day we moved.
"Here we are, kids."
Dad honked the horn happily as we rounded the corner onto Maple Lane. Wow, RL, you're not really reaching for street names. And pulled up in front of our new house.
"Ready for the big move, kitty cat?"
My dad is the only one who can get away with calling me kitty cat. My real name is Katrina. Ugh. That's in parentheses. I didn't actually add... Well, I did add the brilliant enunciation of the word ugh, but it says, ugh. Merton. But only the teachers call me Katrina. To everyone else, I'm simply Cat. For the sake of this reading and the fact that I'm going to forget before I read part two of it, Katrina is going to sound exactly like me. Much like 90% of the other characters. "Definitely, Dad," I shouted. I jumped out of the station wagon. My boobs flopped down and ached. See, I'm going to have to fill these things in, because I don't know what it's like to be a girl. I think, is this the first one I've read as a girl? No, I've read a couple other ones, but it's weird for me. You know, normally I'd add in that my balls flopped down and smacked the hot asphalt and burned and stuck to them, and then slapped back up on my face, like when you have one of those sticky hands against the wall before it gets all covered in pubes and cat hair, and it pulls right back and hits you. That's what it would normally be like, but with boobs, it's totally different. "Ralph! Ralph! Killer," our cocker spaniel barked in agreement and followed me out onto the sidewalk. Daniel, my goofy little brother, is the one who named the dog. What a dumb name. Killer is afraid of everything. The only thing he kills is his rubber ball. Oh, man. You see, he's ironically named Killer because Alanis Morissette was huge at the time and everyone was into irony. Daniel and I had biked past the new house plenty of times already. It's only 3 blocks away from where we used to live, on East Main. But I still couldn't believe we'd be living here. I mean, I always thought our old house was pretty great, but this place is fucking awesome. 3 stories high, sitting up on its own little hill with butter yellow shutters and at least a dozen windows. A wide porch wraps around the whole house. The front yard must be about the size of a football field. Oh no! It's not a house. Pause for effect. It's a mansion! Well, practically a mansion. Enormous, but not exactly fancy. What Mom calls a comfortable old shoe kind of house. Yeah, that mom seems cunty already. Sorry, I was checking to see if the recorder was recording. I can't just alt-tab over. Actually, today, it really looked messy and old. A few of the shutters hung crookedly, the grass needed mowing, and the whole place seemed to be covered with an inch of dust. But, as Mom said, nothing that can't be taken care of with good cleaning, a coat of paint, and a few bangs with the hammer. Then she always winks at my dad. I don't know what she means. Mom, Dad, and Daniel climbed out of the car, and we all stood staring excitedly at the house. Today, I'd finally get to see the inside.
Wait, did R.L. Stein just watch My Neighbor Totoro, and then co-opt it thinking no American would ever see it?
Mom pointed to the second floor. Except for then, the mom's not dying of cancer, which is a really weird twist to that movie that goes on the whole time and everyone forgets about it. And then you watch it again, and you're like, a third of it's just talking about different forms of chemotherapy. Mom pointed to the second floor. See that big balcony? She asked. That's the room where your father and I will sleep. The next room over is Daniel's. She gave my hand a little squeeze. The little balcony? That's outside your room, Cat. She beamed. My very own private porch. I leaned over and gave my mom a big hug. I love it already, I whispered in her ear. I love it already! Naturally, Daniel started whining immediately. He's 10 years old, but most of the time he acts as if he were 2.
How come Cat's room has a balcony and mine doesn't? He complained. It's not fair. I want a balcony too.
Get a life, Daniel, I muttered. Mom, tell him to fuck off. Don't I get something for being 2 years older? Well, almost 2 years older. My birthday was in 4 days. Quiet, kids, Mom ordered. Daniel, you don't have a balcony, but you are getting something neat, too. Bunk beds. So Carlo can sleep over whenever you want.
Excellent, Daniel shouted.
Carlo is Daniel's best friend. They're always together and always buggering each other. Oh, sorry. They're always together and always bugging me. Is it budgering? Bugger? Bugger? Fucking Brits. Daniel's okay, most of the time, but he insists on always being right. Dad calls him Mr. Know-It-All, and sometimes Dad calls him Daniel the Human Tornado, because he runs around like a whirlwind and makes unbelievable messes. I'm a lot more like my dad, sort of calm and quiet. Well, usually calm, and we both have the same favorite foods. Lasagna, really sour garlic pickles, and mocha chip ice cream. I even look like my father. That's not a good sign. Tall and thin, with a lot of freckles and reddish hair. I usually wear my hair in a ponytail. Dad doesn't have much hair to worry about. Daniel looks like my mother. Straight, light brown hair that's always falling in his eyes, and what Mom calls a sturdy build. That means she has ass with bounce to the ounce. Oh, sorry, that means he's chunky. Today, Daniel was definitely in human tornado mode. He ran up onto the big green lawn and began spinning around in circles. It's huge, he shouted. It's gigantic. It's Super House. He collapsed in a heap on the grass. And this is the super yard. Hey, Cat, look at me. I'm Super Daniel! You're so fucking dumb, I told him, messing up his hair with both hands.
Hey, quit it!
Daniel yelped like a little bitch. He pulled out his super soaker gun and squirted the front of my t-shirt
all over my bosoms.
Sorry, I'll stop being a little girl. It's creeping me out, too.
You're captured, he announced. You are my prisoner.
I don't think so, I replied, tugging on the water pistol.
Give up the gun, I commanded. I pulled harder. Let go.
Okay, Daniel grinned. He loosened the grip so suddenly that I staggered backwards and fell on the sidewalk.
What a klutz, Daniel snickered.
I knew how to get him. I zoomed up the porch steps.
Hey, Daniel, I called. I'm going to be the first in the new house. No way, he exclaimed, scrambling up off the lawn.
He hurled himself at the steps and grabbed me by the ankle, just like he always grabbed his ankles when Carlo was around.
Me first! Me first!
That's when Dad walked up the driveway, carrying an overstuffed cardboard box with "Kitchen" written on the side. Two moving men followed, hauling our big blue couch. "Hey, stop goofing around. Mom and I really need your help today. That's why we allowed you to miss school today." He called, "Daniel, walk Killer, and make sure he has food and water. Cat, keep an eye on Daniel. And Cat, clean the inside of the kitchen cabinets, okay?" Dad added. "Mom wants to start putting the dishes and pots away." "Sure, Dad," I answered. I saw Daniel rummaging through a box on the lawn. The box was marked "Cards and Comics." "Hey, where's the dog?" I yelled to him. He shrugged. Dune drank. Scarlet meowed. Everyone had a good time. "Daniel," I frowned. "I don't see Killer anywhere. Where is he?" He dropped a sack of baseball cards. "Really, Scarlet? We doing this right now?" Okay, I'll find him," he mumbled. He stood up and made his way to the driveway, calling the dog's name. As soon as he disappeared around the side of the house, I hurried to the box marked "Cards and Comics" and checked through it. Sure enough, the little brat had stolen some of my comics. Oh, no! He stole the Archies and Betty and Veronica and whatever else girls read. I tucked them under my arm and walked inside to the kitchen to clean out the cabinets. One quick glance made me groan. Cabinets filled just about every square inch of the big, bright room. Sighing, I yanked paper towels and a bottle of cleaner out of the "cleaning supplies" box and started scrubbing. Spritz, rub, spritz, spritz, rub, spritz, rub, spritz, spritz, rub. We will. Ah, see, I held out those "we wills" long enough to realize that the joke of we will clean you was not funny at all. It was like bad, like Pete Holmes humor. So I just stopped it. So thank Christ that I had to hold out "we will." Anyway, spritz rub, spritz rub. This could take hours. After I finished a cabinet, I stepped back to admire my work. Then, I knelt down in front of the cabinet under the sink. I like that I'm mocking the professional humor of Pete Holmes, who makes a living off of comedy and has done so for years, while I am, you know, taking the higher ground and making jokes about it being so hot that I stepped out of the car and my testicles hit the hot asphalt, and then they stuck and eventually popped up and slapped me in the face like a sticky hand coming off the wall. That's what I think is above someone else's humor. God, I should kill myself. After I finished a cabinet, I stepped back down to admire my work. Then I knelt down in front of the cabinet under the sink. But something, a squeaky noise, like the sound of a footstep on an old wooden stair, made me stop short. What is that? I wondered. My heart beating faster, I slowly opened the cabinet, tried to peek inside. I opened it a little wider. A little wider! I heard the noise. I got tripped up on the word noise. I heard the noise again. My heart was pounding now. I opened the cabinet door another inch, and then it grabbed me. A dark, hairy claw. It wouldn't let go. I screamed. Aah! Chapter 2. Daniel, you scared me to death, I screamed. I pounded him on the back. Laughing his head off, my brother yanked off the stupid rat costume he had insisted on packing. You should have seen your face, he cried. Know what? I'm going to start calling you Scaredy Cat. Ha ha, very funny, I replied, rolling my eyes. Did I mention that Daniel also thinks he's the king of practical jokes? I suddenly remembered what my brother was supposed to be doing. Dad asked you to find Killer. Where is he? I didn't have to find him, Daniel snickered. He was never lost. What do you mean? I demanded. I stuck Killer in the basement, he said proudly. While you were hanging around the porch, I ran through the side door and hid under the sink. You really are a big rat, I exclaimed. I heard a funny tap-tapping on the linoleum floor.
"What's that noise?" I asked. Daniel's mouth dropped open. "Oh no, it's a real rat," he shrieked. "Cat, look out, move!" Without thinking, I jumped onto the kitchen chair as Killer came trotting into the kitchen. Franklin, what do you think of Killer? You think that dog does too much moving and you like sitting way more?
Dude, chill out. The cat does not want your food. Relax. Take a nap. You're not feeling well. Or maybe you're not. Speaking of not feeling well, my girlfriend got her cat. She has like a hairless sphinx cat named Yoda, and it looks like Yoda, and it's cute, but got neutered today, and the old testy kites were bleeding a bit, so she was freaking out. So I was trying to help and console her. It was adorable. Daniel let out a high-pitched laugh. Twice on the same trick. He was very pleased with himself. I dove at my brother, ready to tickle him. "Prepare to die laughing," I yelled. "Stop! Help! No!" he gulped. "Cat, please. Stop. Please, I can't take it, Spock." "Give up?" I asked. Daniel nodded. "Yes!" he half gasped, half laughed. "All right," I said generously. "You can get up now." "Thanks," he said. "Hey, what's Killer doing over there?" "No way, I'm not falling for another one of your tricks," I declared. But when I glanced over, the Cocker Spaniel did seem very interested in something inside the sink cabinet I'd left open. He pulled it out.
Really, Scarlet?
Then sniffed, pushed it with his nose, and gave a head-tossing growl. That's weird, I thought. Killer never growls. "What do you have there, boy?" I called to him. The dog didn't even look up. Sniff, 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 growl, sniff, 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 growl. I leaned in for a closer view. "What is it, cat?" Daniel asked. "Nothing much," I answered casually. "Just an old sponge, I think." Sniff, sniff, growl, sniff, 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 growl, sniff, growl. It seemed perfectly ordinary. Small, round, and light brown, a little bigger than an egg. But the sponge had Killer all excited and nervous. The dog danced around it, barking and growling. I snatched the sponge from him to get a better look, and my sweet dog tried to bite me. "Killer!" I yelled.
Now, Franklin, I'm going to talk to the dog right now.
Bad boy.
See, that wasn't in reference to you. You're great. But
Killer! I yelled.
Bad boy.
He slunk to a corner, and with an embarrassed howl, he laid his head down sadly on his paws. I held the sponge up close to my face to study it better.
Whoa! Wait a minute!
I suddenly understood Killer's strange behavior. Daniel, check it out! I exclaimed. Wow! I don't believe this! If I ever forget to edit out one of those giant pauses like that where I'm gathering myself, just, don't email me about it. I don't care. I'm not gonna go back and change it. That's there. That's forever. You and me just had a quiet moment. Maybe I was thinking about someone I lost. Miss you, Grandpa.
Chapter 3!
Huh? What is it, Cat? Daniel cried. I stared in shock at the tiny sponge. Maybe my eyes are playing tricks on me, I muttered. It's totally weird. Come on, Cat, Daniel insisted. What is it? I studied the sponge some more. Wow, I gasped. My eyes weren't fooling me. The round sponge moved in my hand, gently and slowly, in and out in a lazy rhythm, as if it were breathing. But sponges don't breathe.
Do they?
This one sure did. I could even hear its little breaths. Woo-ha! Woo-ha!
Well, it says that, but I'm assuming that it was not meant to be read like that. But when I see woo-ha, I read it like Busta Rhymes, because I am from the 90s.
I got you all in check. Daniel, I don't think it's just a sponge, I stammered. I think it's alive! I tossed it back into the sink cabinet. I admit it, I felt a little scared. My brother put his hands on his hips. That's a pretty lame joke, he snickered. But Daniel, I started. You can't get me with that one, Cat. It's an old sponge, he insisted, grinning. A dirty old sponge that's probably been here for 100 years. All right, don't believe me, I exclaimed.
When I'm famous for discovering this thing, I won't tell them that you're my brother. I like that that's how kids' minds work, where you're just like, oh man, the guy who invented the sloth, you know, Sir Artemis Sloth, he's a fucking billionaire. Oh my god, he got so much pussy when he looked up in the tree and saw that moss-covered monkey. Mom walked by, carrying an armload of winter coats. I knew she would believe me. Mom, I yelled, the sponge, it's alive! That's nice, dear, she murmured. Only a few more things to bring in. Now, where did I put that box of silverware? My mother acted as if she didn't even hear me. Mom! I started again, even louder this time. The sponge? Under the sink? It's breathing? She ignored me and kept walking through the kitchen and right out the screen door into the backyard. Nobody cared about my amazing find. Except for Killer. He seemed really interested. Maybe too interested. Killer bent his neck down, poked his head into the cabinet, and gave the sponge a long stare, and growled deep in his throat. See, here's where I have experience, and then there's two growl sounds coming up. But I know that if I actually try to growl deep in my throat, it's going to make it so I have to stop reading because my throat will hurt. So I get around it with ways like this. There's some audiobook tricks. All the pros do it. Growl! And that didn't hurt my throat at all. Why was he growling again? Killer touched his wet nose to the sponge. He shoved it around, sniffing and sniffing. He gazed up at me for a moment, a puzzled expression on his dog face. Growl! Growl! Killer opened his mouth and grabbed the sponge in his teeth. Hey, that's not lunch, I yelped, but you would be in China. Nah, she didn't say that, I'm just racist. Grabbing Killer by his collar, I yanked him out from under the sink. That could be a very important discovery. I turned to my brother. See, Daniel, Killer knows it's alive, I insisted. Honestly, it's not a trick. Look closer. I promise that you'll see it's breathing. Daniel smirked as if he didn't believe me, but he poked his head into the cabinet. Hey, whoa, you might be right, he admitted. He pulled himself up to face me. I think it's alive, and I also think it's mine. With that, he dove under the sink to grab the sponge. No way, I protested. I grabbed the back of his t-shirt and hauled him out. I saw it first. The sponge belongs to me. He shook me off and drove back down again and dove back down again. Finders keepers, he cried. I made another grab for him. But before I could touch him, Daniel uttered a blood-curdling scream of pain. Chapter 4 is the chapter I'm on. You could probably hear Daniel's wail for blocks. That got Mom's attention. She came banging through the screen door from the backyard. What happened? Who screamed? What's wrong? What's going on? Mom demanded. Why is that cunt always playing 20 questions? Am I right? That was my disgust with my bad joke. Daniel backed out from under the sink, holding his head. He squinted up at us. I hit my head on the sink, he wailed. Cat pushed me. Mom knelt down and put her arm around Daniel. You poor thing, she said soothingly. She patted his head softly. I did not push him, I declared. I didn't even touch him. Daniel groaned and rubbed the side of his head. It really hurts, he complained. I'll probably have a huge bump there. He glared at me. You did it on purpose. And it's not your sponge anyway. It was in the house, so it belongs to all of us. It is so my sponge, I insisted. What's your problem, Daniel? Why do you always want what's mine? That is enough, Mom cried impatiently. I can't believe you're fighting over a fucking sponge. Mom turned to me. Cat. You're supposed to be keeping an eye on your brother, aren't you? She demanded. And Daniel, don't take take things that aren't yours." She turned to leave the room. "Not one more word about a silly sponge or both of you will be sorry." As soon as Mom left the room, Daniel stuck out his tongue at me and crossed his eyes. "Thanks for giving me in trouble, bitch," he grumbled. He stomped off, with Killer at his heels. Alone in the kitchen, I bent down and reached my hand out of the sink and picked up the sponge. "Everyone's yelling and screaming around here," I whispered to it. "You're causing a lot of trouble, aren't you?" I sort of felt dumb talking to a sponge. I sort of feel dumb reading Goosebumps. We're in the same boat. We can be friends, girl who's me, for the next hour. But it didn't feel like a sponge. Not at all. "It's warm," I thought in surprise. "Warm and damp. Are you alive?" I asked the wrinkled little ball. I closed my hand around it softly, and the weirdest thing happened. The sponge started moving in my hand. You can't just call something something, and then you're like, oh, it's behaving exactly as that thing does not. You know, like, you can't pick up an ice cube and be like, "You are the coldest fire I've ever held." You can't just keep going down that train, am I right? God, I wish someone was here to talk to. You know, not in, like, a lonely sense. In, like, a, yeah, am I right? Can I get some fucking validation? But of course I can't. Well, not exactly moving, pulsing, slowly and gently. Ka-chunk. 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 It moved like the plastic model heart we use in science class. Could I be feeling a heartbeat? Could you, Kanye? I peered curiously at the thing. I ran my fingertips over the wrinkles that covered it, pushing back the folds of spongy, moist material. Whoa! I cried out, startled. Two wet, black eyes stared out at me. I shuddered. Yuck! You aren't a sponge at all, I thought. Sponges don't have eyes, do they? What are you? I needed some answers. Ah, no, but Wikipedia won't be around for another 10 years. Quick, but who could I talk to? Jeeves? I could ask Jeeves. No, not Jeeves. He didn't ever want to hear about the sponge. Dad! Dad! I called out, dashing through the living room and dining room. Where are you? He shouted. What? I yelled, running through the house. Oh, there you are. Dad stood at the top of the ladder in front of the hall. He had a hammer in one hand and a big roll of black electrician's tape in the other, and a bunch of nails in his mouth. He mumbled. Dad, what are you trying to say? I asked. He spit out the nails. Sorry, Dad grumbled. I've got to get this hall light working. These darn old wires. Dad, are you trying to fix the wiring in the house by just nailing things randomly? That's not a way that you do... What are you doing? Shouldn't you get an electrician, Dad? Ah, God, you're so cheap. He stared down at a pile of tools on the floor. Cat, hand me those pliers. I'm going to try to pinch this wire into working and shit. If this doesn't do it, I'll have to call an electrician. Oh, like Dune suggested. Taking calls... Straight from Dune's lips, something, something. Dune doing stuff. Also, there's Ray. Dune's on the mic, and he's also on the reading. What the fuck? Dad is great at getting flowers to bloom and grass to grow. But when it comes to handyman stuff, he messes up a lot. One time, he tried to fix a fan and knocked out the electricity all over the neighborhood. The old folks' home had a bunch of people on life support. They all died. Silly Dad, he can't fix a fan. He's also a murderer. Hey, Dad. Here, Dad. I handed him the pliers and held up the sponge. Check this out, I urged. I stood on tiptoes so he could see the sponge up close. I found it under the sink, and it's warm and it has eyes and it's alive. I can't figure out what it is. He peered out from under his baseball cap. Let's have a look at that, he offered. I shoved the sponge up so he could reach it. He leaned down to grab the sponge from me.
I didn't see the ladder wobble, and I didn't see it start to tilt over. I only saw Dad's expression change. I saw his eyes go wide and his mouth open in a startled scream. As he started to fall, he grabbed at the light in the ceiling for support. No! The light came crashing down on his head. Dad sailed off the top of the ladder. He lay on the hall floor, perfectly still. Mom? Mom? Mom! I shrieked. Come quick! It's Dad! And that's the story of Joel McHale's father. The end. Also, for people who don't get that reference, and that's the story of Artie Lang's father. The end. And for people who don't get that reference, you probably have an active life and enjoy things and, you know, get out and do stuff and enjoy the company of other people. Oh, what's it like? If you want to tell me about that kind of lifestyle, you can email me at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com. Chapter 5. Mom, Daniel, and I huddled around Dad. His eyes fluttered open. He blinked. Huh? He murmured. What happened? Dad shook his head and pushed himself up onto his elbows. I think I'm okay, guys, he said shakily. Dad tried to stand up, but he collapsed to the floor. My ankle, I think it might be broken, he groaned in pain. With me on one side and Mom on the other, we helped Dad to the couch. Ugh, it really hurts, he moaned. He rubbed the ankle tenderly. Daniel, go put some ice into a towel for your father, Mom instructed. Cat, get him a cold drink. Now, honey, Mom whispered, wiping Dad's brow, tell me what happened. When I came running back into the living room with a tall glass of iced scotch, Mom and Dad had the weirdest expressions on their faces. Cat, Mom said angrily, did you push your father? Why did you push the ladder? Dad asked, rubbing his ankle. Huh? Excuse me? I spluttered. That's actually what it says, spluttered. I didn't push you, I wouldn't. We'll discuss that later, young lady, Mom said sternly. For now, I've got to take care of your father. She leaned over and applied the ice pack to Dad's swelling ankle. I felt a red-hot flash of red-hot embarrassment creep down the flashing red face of my face. How could Dad think I pushed him? I lowered my eyes. I realized he still held the sponge, and I realized something else. Something strange and scary. Instead of pulsing gently, the sponge throbbed in my hand. Throbbed wildly. Ba-boom. Ba-boom. Ba-ba-booey. Ba-boom. Vibrating, as if someone had turned a blender to high speed, the sponge practically purred with excitement. Woo-ha! Woo-ha! I sat down on the hall floor, feeling shaky. What's going on here? I wondered. Daniel thought I pushed him, and then Dad said the same thing. They both think I pushed them. Why? Ba-boom. 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 The sponge throbbed warmly in my hand. I shivered with fear. Suddenly, the sponge seemed kind of scary. I didn't want the thing anywhere near me or my family. I ran outside. I found a big metal garbage can near the garbage. I lifted the lid, dropped the sponge inside, and pushed the lid shut firmly like a prom night dumpster baby. Back inside the house, Mom called me into the living room. I think Dad's ankle's only sprained, she said. Now tell me what happened. Thursday. I sat at my desk writing down the names of guests for my birthday party. The big day was only 2 days away. How come every Goosebumps book is siblings, dog, both parents still together, and then a birthday party at some point within a week or two of the entire main plot? I had to give the list to Mom today, so she could buy enough favors by Saturday. I heard Daniel babbling away to Carlo as the two boys clambered noisily up the stairs to fuck. Check it out! It looks like an old sponge, but it's alive, Daniel explained. I bet it's a prehistoric creature, like a dinosaur. or Adam and Eve, am I right? Because those are things. Or something. I jumped up and ran out of my room. Hey, I yelled at Daniel. What are you guys doing with that? I pointed at the sponge in his hands. I threw that thing away. I found it in the garbage can, Daniel replied. It's too cool to throw away, right, Carlo? Carlo shrugged, his shaggy black hair touching his shoulders. It looks like an old sponge. What's the big deal? It's a very BFD, I shot back, abbreviating things like an idiot. And that thing is definitely not a sponge. I pulled a large book from my new bookcase. I checked the encyclopedia, I explained. Under sponges. You should have left it in the trash, Daniel. You really should have. What did the encyclopedia say? Daniel asked eagerly, plopping down on my bed. He held the sponge between his hands. It says that sponges do not have eyes, I replied, and that they can live only in the water. If they're out of the water for more than 30 minutes, they die. And then I donated $5 to Wikipedia so I'd never have to look at a fucking encyclopedia again. Well, I don't see any eyes, and it sure doesn't look alive to me, said Carlo doubtfully. Daniel leaped off the bed and offered his friend the sponge. Hold it, you'll see. Carlo carefully cradled the sponge in his hands. His big brown eyes grew wide. It's warm, and it's moving, it's squirming, it's alive. Carlo spun around to face me. But if it's not a sponge, then... Then what is it? I haven't figured that out yet, I admitted. Well, maybe it's some kind of super sponge, Daniel offered. So powerful that it can live on land. It could be part sponge and part another animal, added Carlo. Gazing at it. Can I take it home for a while? It's really spooky. It's really spook, Sandy. It'll really spook Sandy. Ah, the typos are in my brain. Sandy is Carlo's babysitter. I'll bring it right back, Carlo promised. No way, Jose. Oh, sorry, no way, Carlo. Oh, whatever, they all look the same to me. Am I right up top? All right, nope, no high five. That wasn't funny. I said quickly, I think I'll keep the sponge right here until I know exactly what it is. Here. Stick it in this old gerbil cage. Yeah, come on, Carlo begged, petting the sponge on the top of its wrinkled head. The old hiccup burp. See, it likes me. No way, I replied. Daniel, tell your friend to fuck off. Okay, Carlo muttered. Hey, what does the little guy eat anyway? I don't know, I replied, but it seems to be fine without eating. Put it in the cage. Carlo reached into the gerbil cage and set the creature down. As he did, his face filled with horror. I saw his arm tremble. Then he let out a terrified scream. Ah, my hand! It ate my hand! No! I shrieked. His mouth twisted in horror. Carlo yanked his arm from the gerbil cage and shoved it into my face. Oh, I gasped. Carlo wiggled his hand in my face and began to laugh. His hand was perfectly okay. You are horrible, I yelled. That is so completely not funny. It's sick. Ah, why don't you just get some puppets and pander to the lowest common denominator? Damn it, I can't think of that guy's name. Whatever. Point is, not funny. He was my example of not funny. Carlo and Daniel collapsed with laughter. Excellent joke, Daniel grinned. Hey, Carlo, give me a hand. Job. He and Carlo slapped each other high fives. Way to go, dude. No problem, bro. Daniel cried. I glared at the dumb, immature brats, and Dune is dumb and immature as well. You know, guys, this isn't funny, I said seriously. We don't know what kind of creature the sponge is. We don't know what kind of creature you are either, Daniel announced with a big grin. If I'm a creature, you're a creature's baby brother, I shot back.
Hey, I have an idea, said Carlo, winking at Daniel. Maybe you should put the sponge on a leash and take it for a walk. The exercise will give it an appetite.
He hooted with laughter.
What? Just what? Like, I don't even have a joke. Just, huh?
He really cracked himself up.
But it doesn't have legs, Daniel chimed in.
She can roll it down Maple Lane, Carlo suggested.
That's the street they live on. More laughter.
That's it, you guys. Get out, I shouted. Leave me and the sponge alone. Now. Slapping each other another high five, Daniel and Carlo turned to leave. I could hardly wait for them to go. I needed to be by myself for a while to sit and figure out what I should do with the little round creature. But before Carlo and Daniel got out the bedroom door, a scream made my
Sorry, Scarlett's meowing again. It's distracting for me.
A scream made me nearly jump to the ceiling. I turned to see Carlo hopping frantically up and down on one foot.
Oh, right, I said. Like I'm going to believe another one of your stupid jokes.
Carlo, his face twisted in pain, pointed wildly to his foot, falling back onto the bed with a groan he yanked off my brother. Or his sneaker. Blood oozed through his white sock. A nail, he gasped. I stepped on a nail.
I dropped my eyes to the sneaker on the floor. A long nail had poked through the thick rubber sole and into Carlo's foot.
Weird, I thought. Where did that nail come from?
Probably from when your dad spit it out, jerk.
Hey, it's really bleeding, Carlo wailed. Do something. I searched around frantically for something to use as a bandage. As I did, my eyes rested on the sponge in the gerbil cage.
Whoa, I cried. The sponge quivered and shook.
It shook with what seemed like joy. And it breathed so loud I could hear the eerie sound from the other side of the room. Woo-ha! Woo-ha!
As I wrapped an old t-shirt around Carlo's foot, the two questions ran through my mind. What in the world is happening here? Why did the sponge creature suddenly get so excited? I wouldn't find out the frightening truth about the sponge creature until the next day.
That's weird writing.
When I learned it, I understood why there were so many accidents in our new house, and it made me wish I had never opened that cabinet, never reached under the sink, and never found the spongy thing. Because now it was too late. Too late for us all!
Too late with Adam Carolla. Canceled!
Chapter 7.
Cat, it's all set. Mom grinned at me in the next morning when I walked into the kitchen for breakfast.
What's all set? I asked sleepily.
Oh, she's sleepy.
Your birthday party tomorrow, idiot. Mom replied, giving me a quick hug. Mom's a very big on hugging.
I think that her mom is, what's her name? Weasley, the mom.
God damn it. The Weasley mom.
Pam Weasley?
It's Pam Weasley.
That's a lie, but I'm gonna keep going because you don't care.
How could you forget? She asked in surprise. We've been planning your birthday for weeks.
My party? I breathed with delight.
Oh, I can't wait. I sat down at the table for cornflakes and orange juice.
Birthday parties are a really big deal around the Merton house.
Mom always orders a big cake, and she makes all the invitations and decorations by hand. This year, I helped with the invitations. We cut them out of purple construction paper and used a pink sparkle pen to write the words. I usually have a theme for my parties. Last year's theme was, make your own pizza.
That sounds like good stuff.
And it was awesome. I wonder what they did there. My friends talked about it for weeks.
Oh my god, did you go to that abortion of a party?
Yeah, we had to make our own fucking pizza.
Oh my god, I didn't know they were poor. I thought they were buying that big mansion. They can't afford to buy pizza?
No, I guess they can't. We had to fucking make our own.
Oh no.
Now that I'm going to be 12, I decided I'm too old for a theme. So Mom and Dad are taking me and five of my best friends to Wonder Park for the entire day. Vanderpark is definitely the coolest. It has two wave pools, a whole bunch of water slides, and the Monster Masher.
That's the scariest upside-down roller coaster I've ever been on. Just how cool is it? Well, last summer, Carlo lost his lunch after a ride on the Masher. Pretty cool. This is going to be my best birthday ever, I exclaimed, smiling across the table at Mom. I turned to Daniel. Sorry, you're not invited. This is for 12-year-olds only. No fair. Why can't I come along? He complained, banging his spoon into his cereal and splashing milk all over the table. I promise I won't talk to any of Cat's friends. Who would want to? Please, let me come. I started to feel sort of bad. I started to change my mind. And then Daniel totally ruined his chance. He folded his arms over his chest. Cat gets everything around here, he grumbled. She won't even share the sponge with me. That old thing Cat found under the sink? Mom asked in surprise. Who would want that? Me! Yelled Daniel, like a little bitch. Well, I found it, so it's mine, and I'm bringing my sponge to school today, I informed Daniel. Why? Mom asked. I'm going to show it to Mr. Vanderhoff, I explained. Maybe Mrs. Vanderhoff, I explained. Maybe she'll know what it is. Now, I need to find a carrier for my sponge. I searched around in the kitchen cabinets. Perfect, I proclaimed, holding up a plastic container labeled deli. It smelled faintly of potato salad. With an old pair of scissors, I punched a few air holes in the top of the container. Then, I ran upstairs to get the sponge. Back in the kitchen, I set the sealed container on the floor and opened the refrigerator. Mom, I called, which lunch bag is mine?
The blue one, honey,
she replied. I grabbed my lunch and shut the refrigerator. I heard a sniffing sound coming from Anderson and Bald Brian, also from the kitchen floor. I looked down.
Killer, what are you doing, boy?
I smiled at the floppy-eared dog.
God. I was imitating the dog sound in the book, and my fucking sinus is clear. I'm going to vomit my face off. Hey, I'm getting a call from Giovanni. I'm going to stop this recording.
All right. Talked to Gio for a bit. Checked in on a girlfriend's cat situation. And then got distracted by the internet for a second. And had one of those weird realizations where I like, oh, yeah. I'm somehow as popular as the weird local punk bands that I was into as a kid. And that's fucking weird. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm getting at on this one.
Killer, what are you doing, boy?
I smiled at the floppy-eared dog.
Snurf! 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 Snurf!
He snurfed at the container.
Growl. Growl.
He pawed the ground and growled. Here we go again, I thought. Killer set his ears back, circling the container suspiciously. And barked, and barked, and barked, and barked, and borgy, 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 arkadolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfredolfred listen to me. Mom, Daniel, I called. Help me get Killer away. I think he wants to eat the sponge for breakfast. Mom grabbed Killer by the collar and hauled him, still growling, away from the container. She pushed the door open and shooed the dog into the backyard. Go outside, boy. There you go, she said gently. Mom turned to me. What's got that dog so upset? He sure is acting strange. Now get a move on, or you'll be late for school. And then I'll be growling and barking. Mom's. Throwing my backpack over my shoulder. I just wore it on one shoulder, because it's the 90s, and now chiropractors have business, because why the fuck did everyone wear their backpack on one shoulder in the 90s? I gave my mom a quick kiss goodbye and followed Daniel out the door. Watch this, he yelled, dashing across the street to the Johnson's house and planting himself underneath their basketball hoop. How's he already know where the Johnsons live? Daniel faked a dribble and pass. I ran madly in circles. Bet you can't jump this high, he said, pretending to sink a basket. Come on, Daniel, I replied, walking quickly down the street. Mrs. Vanderhoff will keep me after school if I show up late. Daniel trotted over to me. Suddenly, his eyes bulged. Cat, look out! He screamed. Crack! I heard a frightening sound above my head, a loud cracking as if someone had cracked about 1,000 knuckles at the same time. I glanced up in time to see a huge dead tree branch hurtling down through the air. I froze. I couldn't scream. I couldn't move. I couldn't move a muscle. I was about to be crushed into... You ready, listener? Cat litter. Oh, R.L. Stein. You slay me. You are a funny, funny man. Chapter 8.
I'm on Chapter 8.
You got me rocking and rolling, rocking and reading Chapter 8.
Oh! A terrified moan escaped my butt.
It says throat.
I felt someone shove me hard from behind. The force of it sent me flying to the ground. I lay there in shock and watched the huge tree branch crash down to the ground, cracking and shattering. It landed a few feet behind me. As I struggled to pull myself up, the sponge container rolled out of my hand. The little creature came spilling out onto the sidewalk. "Save your life," cried Daniel. "Now you owe me big." I barely heard him. The sponge, I could only stare at the sponge. Woo-ha! Woo-ha! Breathing louder and faster and deeper than I'd ever heard it before. Woo-ha! Woo-ha! Throbbing its little heart out, practically hopping around on the ground in excitement. Ba-boom! Ba-boom! Ba-boom, boom, boom, boom. I want you in my room. We'll spend the night together. I'm gonna stop singing so I don't own the Venga Boys copyright. Very weird. It had almost been... I'd almost been killed by the falling branch, and the sponge seemed very excited, as if it enjoyed my near accident, as if my accident made it really happy. "Miss Vanderhoff," I called, rushing into the classroom. "I have to show you something." Miss Vanderhoff is a brain. She basically knows everything about everything. Well, if she knew everything, Cat, she wouldn't be teaching, you know? She'd be doing, you know? I'm 26 now. I just like to make clear the teachers suck. She's very smart, and she takes us on great class trips. At Halloween, we visited a spooky old theater that's supposed to be haunted by the ghosts of dead actors. But Miss Vanderhoff is also really strict. Anyone who goofs off or talks out of turn stays after school for a week! One other problem, she has no sense of humor, at all, like Dune. I've never even seen her crack a smile. "Check this out, Miss Vanderhoff," I blurted out, shoving the sponge under her nose. "I found it under the kitchen sink of our new house. And when Daniel went to grab it, he hit his head. My dad thought I pushed him, and Miss Vanderhoff peered at me over her wire-rim glasses. "Cat, shh," she ordered sharply. "Now start over, slowly and clearly." I took a deep breath and began again, like Dune often does, starting with moving day and ending with the falling tree branch. Goddamn, now that the fountain is off outside, I think this mic sounds way better and it's gonna fuck up my compression. "And you say it throbs and breathes?" Miss Vanderhoff asked, staring hard at me. "Yes," I exclaimed. "Let me see it," Miss Vanderhoff replied. I hesitantly handed over the container. She stuck her hand in and lifted the sponge out. "Oh, wow," I groaned in disappointment. The sponge appeared dry and shriveled. It didn't breathe. It didn't throb. Miss Vanderhoff glared at me. "Cat, what's the meaning of this?" she huffed. "This is an ordinary kitchen sponge." She made a face. A dirty one, I might add. "You're wrong," I cried shrilly, desperate for her to believe me. "It's much more than a sponge. It's alive. It has eyes. See? You've got to see." Miss Vanderhoff squinted at me, shaking her gray-haired head. "Oh, all right," she said with a sigh. She bent her head and examined the sponge closely. She ran her fingers over its wrinkled surface. Cervix? Whatever. "I don't know what in the world you're talking about," she said angrily, motioning for me to take my seat. "This thing does not have eyes, and it's not alive. It's a dirty, dried-up old sponge." Miss Vanderhoff glared at me. If this is your idea of a joke, Katrina, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But, I started. Miss Vanderhoff held up her hand. Not another word, she instructed. She handed the sponge back, dropping it on my hand like a piece of junk. My stomach churned with disappointment. Couldn't I say anything else to convince her? The sharp rap of a ruler on her desk interrupted my thoughts. I'm going to pass back the papers from your math test last week, Miss Vanderhoff announced in a completely different voice. Everyone groaned. The surprise quiz on long division had been a major disaster for all of us.
Settle down, Miss Vanderhoff snapped.
She reached into her desk and pulled out the test papers and slammed her fingers in the drawer. With a howl of pain, she shrieked, "My fingers! Ow! I think I broke my fingers!" I was still standing beside her desk. Holding her hand, she turned to me. "Help me, Katrina! I've got to get to the nurse's office!" I opened the classroom door for Miss Vanderhoff. Then I helped her down the hall to the infirmary. "What happened, Miss..." Oh, sorry, it's a different teacher. "What happened, Miss Twitchwell?" The school nurse jumped up from her desk and came running up to us. Her starchy white uniform rustled as she moved. She sat Miss Vanderhoff in a comfortable chair.
"My finger!" groaned Miss Vanderhoff. "Hold!"
Ing! Up her red, swollen hand. "I smashed them into my desk drawer!" "All right," Miss Twitchwell said soothingly. "We'll put some ice on that hand, and I'll make sure the principal sends somebody to watch your class."
"Thank you!" Miss Vanderhoff moaned. "Katrina, you can go back to class now. You've been very helpful."
Helpful? Everywhere I went these days, I told myself, somebody seemed to get badly hurt. Unhappily, I shuffled my way back toward classroom 6B.
"Cat! Cat!"
I heard someone shouting my name. Daniel raced out of the library, nearly tripping over his untied shoelaces. He crashed right into me.
"And told me..."
"I found it," he cried breathlessly. "I found the sponge in a book. I know what it is." I bet he doesn't find out what it is because he's a boy. Am I right, girls? And it's warm and it's breathing and it doesn't do dishes like men. Oh, God, that was a callback to the intro. Chapter 9. I grabbed Daniel by the front of his shirt. "What is it? What?" I demanded. "I have to know." "Whoa, take it easy. Cool your jets." Daniel pushed my hands off his shirt. "I'll show you," he promised. "I have a picture in here." "In where?" I asked. Daniel gazed around the hall. No one in sight. He pulled a book out from under his shirt and handed it to me. A big black volume. I glanced at the title. "Encyclopedia of the Weird." "Is your picture in there?" I teased. "Ha ha, that's funny. That's funny, cunt. I seriously was doing research for you, and that's how you pay me. God, you're such... This is why... Oh, my God. You're a terrible sister. All I try to do is help you and hang out with you, and you just constantly just rib me. Just fucking forget it. Figure out your own sponge shit. I'm done. I'm done with this shit." So I slammed the book down in the frustration of pretending to be Daniel, and then I think I screwed up this recording and I scared Frank. "It's all right, bud. Daddy's just, you know, he's reading Goosebumps. You know he gets passionate about Goosebumps. You know I get passionate about Goosebumps, Franklin." He grabbed the book away from me. "Do you want to see your sponge?" "Definitely." Daniel flipped the pages quickly, muttering to himself, "Grebbles, Griffins, Grocks. Here it is. The book..." he shoved the book under my nose. It smelled. Also, J.K. Rowling stole some stuff from R.L. Obviously, this is where we get, what's her Nargle's loving face. Come on, am I not getting... Is that how my brain's working? I can't get Harry Potter references pulled up? I really can't think. Luna Lovegood! Bam! Alright, let's keep going. Smelled sort of funny, sort of musty. I guessed it had been sitting on the library shelf for a long, long time. Daniel pointed to a drawing on page 89. I lowered my eyes to the page. Wrinkly skin, tiny black eyes. It does look like a sponge, I gasped. I began reading the story underneath the drawing. This is a gruel. A gruel, I thought. What in the world is that? Maybe I should read the following sentence before I start asking questions. I returned to the book. The gruel is an ancient and mythical creature.
Oh, now I should ask myself some more questions.
Mythical? I cried. That means it's not real, that it's made up, but it is real. Keep reading, Daniel and the listener urged. The gruel does not eat food or drink water. Instead, it gets its strength from luck. Bad luck. Maybe you should hang out with Brian. That was an internet reference. Daniel, I stammered. This is weird, really weird. He nodded, his eyes wide. The gruel has always been known as a bad luck charm. It feeds on the bad luck of other people. The gruel becomes stronger each time something bad happens around it. This book is crazy, I muttered. I eagerly read some more. Bad luck for the gruel owner never ends. The gruel cannot be killed by force or by any violent means, and it cannot ever be given away or tossed aside. Why not? I wonder. Not reading on. The next lines gave me the answer. Wow, it actually says that. Why not? I wondered. The next lines gave me the answer. You are really trying to fill up a word count on this one, aren't you, RL? A gruel is only passed on to a new owner when an owner dies. Anyone who gives the gruel away will die within one day. That is so stupid, I exclaimed. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Turning to Daniel, wow, speaking of trying to fill up a word count, that is so stupid, I exclaimed. Stupid, stupid, stupid. RL, this book's like a, I don't know, three words short. I got it. Just type stupid a few times. Turning to Daniel, I said in a low voice,
"There is no such thing as a creature that lives on bad luck."
"How do you know, genius?" Daniel demanded.
"Everything needs food and water," I replied. "Everything that's alive, anyway."
"I don't know," Daniel said. "I think the book could be right. The drawing of a creature on the other page caught my eye." "Hey, what's this?" I asked. "It looked like a potato. Oval and brown, but it had a mouth full of sharp, pointy teeth." I quickly read the description. The lynx is a cousin of the gruel, but it's much, much more dangerous. "Yuck!" Daniel cried, making a face. I kept reading. Once the lynx latches onto someone, it never lets go until it has drained every drop of energy from that person. I slammed the encyclopedia shut. "Here, Daniel, take this dumb book that solves all of our act questions, and it's completely concise and makes complete sense, and it's a Goosebumps book." I shoved the Encyclopedia of the Weird back into my brother's arms. "This stuff is totally crazy, and I don't believe any of it. Ugh, what kind of quibbler is this?" Yeah, I'm back with the Harry Potter references for the ladies. "But I thought you wanted to know more about the sponge," Daniel said like a great younger brother. "I do, but not this made-up stuff," I told him. I knew I was acting sort of rotten to Daniel, and that he only wanted to help. But give me a break. After all that's been happening, I was a little stressed out. I mean, it had been a bad couple days, with Dad falling off the ladder, and Miss Vanderhoff slamming her hand in the desk, and me nearly getting crushed by a tree. I stomped down the hall back to class. "Stupid book," I muttered to myself like Homer Simpson, but another thought kept forcing its way into my mind. What if the book is right? I stared at the gruel, still sitting in its container in the corner of Miss Vanderhoff's desk. I walked up to it. It was wet again and breathing. Its cold black eyes stared back. I felt a chill of fear and a prickling all over my skin. "Mythical creatures don't exist," I whispered to the creature in Christians. "I'm not going to believe that book, I'm not." The sponge stared up at me, breathing softly. I picked up the container and shook it angrily. "What are you?" I cried. "What?"
Daniel told Carlo the whole story on the walk home. I walked behind them, trying to think about something else.
Anything else.
It's called a gruel, and it's a bad luck charm, Daniel explained excitedly. Right, Cat?
I think you're the bad luck charm, I snapped like a bitch, and I don't think that book makes any sense.
Oh yeah? He cried. He grabbed my backpack. You don't need these books, do you? He teased. You're so smart. You know more than the encyclopedia. Dancing down the street with my books, Daniel turned onto Maple Lane. Hey, Mom's outside, he cried, surprised, and started to run. Carlo and I hurried to catch up with Daniel. Mom stood at the door waiting for us. Her face wore a tense, worried expression. Hi, kids. Come on inside. Daniel, Carlo, and I followed Mom into the kitchen. I'm afraid I have some very bad news, she began softly.
Chapter 10.
Killer is gone, Mom announced. She bit her lower lip. Gone? Daniel and I shrieked at once. He ran away, Mom explained. I can't find him anywhere. He must have slipped out when I put some things in the garage. But, Mom, I protested, Killer never runs away. He's never done it before. Cat is right, Daniel agreed. He's not brave enough to run away.
Oh, you're calling your dog a coward. That's why he took the coward's way out, Daniel. You should be a better dog parent. I'm sorry I'm waking you up by reading this, Franklin. Should I be a better dog parent and lay with you on the floor for a couple hours? Like I'm prone to doing when I get bummed out.
Don't worry, Mom said. I'm sure we'll find him. I've called the police, and they're out searching for him right now because there's no real crime going on in our entire town. I'll find Killer, Daniel cried, but I can find him before the police. Come on, Carlo. And later, I'm gonna come on, Carlo. Sex. Daniel grabbed a handful of doggy treats and ran out. Carlo followed close behind. The door slammed shut behind them. Poor Killer, I thought. Out somewhere alone, probably lost. I bet he's scared. Our new house is so close to the highway. To all those speeding cars. What will happen to my little dog? Oh, this is bumming me out. I suddenly felt like crying. I grabbed the sponge in its container and ran upstairs. It's all your fault, isn't it? I accused the creature. I bet you are a gruel after all. As I talked, the gruel pulsed. It shook so hard, I expected it to throb out of the container. Ba-boom. Ba-boom! And it breathed fast and deep. Woo-ha! Woo-ha! I yanked the gruel out. We've had enough bad luck. Maybe this will stop you. I hurled the horrible thing as hard as I could against the wall. The gruel hit the wall with a sickening splat. And I let out a shrill cry of pain.
Maybe even if you don't like what it's doing and you're accusing it of doing, you shouldn't abuse animals, fucko.
Chapter 11. I glanced down and saw red blood flowing over my left hand. As I threw the gruel, I slammed the hand down on my desk on the sharp point of a pair of scissors that I was clearly too lazy to just snip closed. Ow! I moaned, checking out my hand. A deep, nasty cut. I wrapped some tissues around the cut to slow down bleeding. Then I spotted the gruel down on the floor. Dead, I hoped. I bent down. Gross! I yelped. The gruel was breathing and throbbing faster and faster, harder than ever before. Woo-ha! Woo-ha! I leaned in closer. Heh, heh, heh. What was that?
Heh, 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 solo.
I guess you'd call that noise a laugh, a dry, cruel snicker that sounded more like a cough. Then, as I listened to that evil laugh, the gruel began changing. Its color suddenly brightened from dull brown to light pink. As I stared in amazement, the gruel turned bright tomato red as the blood on the cut on my hand. My hand, yuck! Blood seeped through the tissues and dripped slowly onto the floor. I needed help with this. Mommy's help.
Mom! I cried, leaping up. I need a Band-Aid. A big one.
As I hurried down the hall, a jumble of questions ran through my mind. Why did the gruel change color, I wondered. And that laugh, I'd never heard it before. What did it mean? Was it really laughing? Did I hurt the gruel when I threw it against my bedroom wall? Is that why it turned red? So many frightening questions. I listened at the door, cupping my hands around my ear. Voices inside my room.
Who's there?
I called out shakily. The door flew open.
It's the ghost of the gruel,
Daniel whispered in a spooky voice.
Ow!
Daniel and Carlo stood over the gerbil cage, giggling.
Oh, I'm so scared, I sneered. Did you find Killer?
No, Daniel replied sadly. Carlo and I searched all over the neighborhood. Mom says the police will find him. I turned my eyes to the gerbil cage. How did the gruel get back in there?
I found it on the floor, so I stuck it back in the cage, Daniel replied. How did it get out?
Beats me, I shrugged. I did not feel like sexplaining. Carlo, who'd been studying the gruel closely, stared at me.
Hey, what happened to your hand? He asked, pointing to my bandage.
I didn't want to tell them.
Oh, fucking nothing, I replied. Just a little cut? Why are you guys standing there, just staring at the gruel?
Carlo still wants to borrow it, Daniel explained, tapping the side of the cage to get the creature's attention. I told him no.
Carlo turned to me. Please? He begged. I promise I'll be careful. Please, 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 please.
That's actually how many pleases it has.
That stupid gruel.
Oh, take it and keep it, I snapped.
Excellent!
Carlo's eyes lit up. He reached eagerly into the plastic cage to grab his prize.
Wait! Daniel cried, grabbing Carlo's arm to stop him. Cat, remember what the Encyclopedia of Weird said?
Daniel began reciting the gruel entry from memory, staring at me a while. You cannot give the gruel away. Anyone who gives the gruel away will die within one day. A feeling of dread grew in my stomach. I probably had diarrhea.
When you're learning about a gruel and your butt begins to drool, diarrhea. Diarrhea.
When you're reciting from the Encyclopedia of Weird and your underwear gets smeared, diarrhea. Diarrhea.
When you're reading Goosebumps and you start to feel lumps, diarrhea.
Diarrhea. I'll keep these going all day, motherfucker.
But I couldn't believe that stupid book. Could I? Did the encyclopedia say that gruels laugh or change color?
No. Carlo and Daniel stared at me, waiting for my decision. Should I give up the sponge creature to Carlo?
I studied the gruel.
Don't do it, Cat, Daniel urged. Please don't give it away. It's too dangerous. I knew only one thing. I wanted to get the gruel away from me as quickly as I could. And if Carlo wanted it so badly, I decided let him have it.
Go ahead, Carlo, I said. Take that gross, disgusting thing.
Daniel grabbed the gruel out of the cage and held it tightly.
No, he cried. Carlo is not taking it. I don't care what you say. I won't let him take it.
Now who's the scaredy cat? I asked, giving Daniel a little poke in the arm.
I'm trying to save you, Daniel exclaimed. Don't you understand?
Poor Daniel. He seems so serious, so frightened. I decided to give him a break.
Well, okay, Carlo. I guess you'd better take the gruel, I announced.
Daniel heaved a sigh of relief. Carlo frowned.
Okay, bye. I'm out of here.
I'll go with you, Daniel said, tossing the gruel back into the cage.
Come on, let's ride our bikes to the park. Maybe Killer's there.
As he hurried out of the bedroom, Daniel turned and gave me a thumbs up. After the boys left, I collapsed onto my bed. What's going to happen next? I wondered. I lifted my eyes to the plastic cage and glared at the gruel. I felt a deep hatred for the little creature. If one more bad thing happens around here, I will bury you, I promised. I'll bury you so far in the ground that no one will ever find you or see you again, ever. It was a promise I would soon have to keep. I'm not sure that professional voice actors and stuff and people who read audiobooks gargle with Budweiser. Christ knows I do. The next morning, I woke up with a jolt. Jolt Cola, the official cola of Goosebumps. Toot toot! Daniel stood in the foot of my bed, blowing farts out his butt. No, but seriously, he was blowing on a party horn. Time to get up, cat, he squealed. I reached out to grab the noisy horn away. Quit it, you loser, I grumbled. Then I remembered, my birthday. Finally, something to celebrate. I jumped out of bed, turned my swag on, and decided it was time to get ready to go to Vanderpark. I planned to be on the Seattle log flume and the wild wave slide all day. Running to the window, I peeked through the glass. No! I cried in disappointment. No, it can't be! Rain poured down. Lightning crackled through the sky. Thunder boomed so loud I felt the house shake. How could we go to the Vanderpark in this mess? Cat, Mom called from downstairs. Breakfast! I wonder what's for breakfast, listeners. I threw on my purple and pink striped leggings and a purple t-shirt and ran to the kitchen like a hipster. On my birthday, Mom always makes my favorite, waffles with strawberries and powdered sugar. Also, Dune apologizes for that hipster reference. I'm really sick of people making fun of hipsters. It's just hacky. Boop. Here's the birthday girl. Happy birthday, honey, Mom beamed, giving me a big hug. I'm dressed for my party, I said, hopefully, as I sat down at the table. Okay, honey, I'm afraid we'll have to cancel your party, Mom said sadly. We certainly can't go to Vanderpark in this storm. Cancel? I poked unhappily at my waffles. Can't we have the party here, indoors? I pleaded. We'll order a pizza and play computer games in the den. You know we can't do that, Mom said. The painters will be here all day in the living room and dining room. With all those ladders and buckets of paint, I can't have your friends running around. What rotten luck. But Mom, it's my birthday, I protested, throwing down my fork. And you promised I could have a party, goddammit, you promised. Mom sighed at what a cunt I was being. I know how disappointed you are, Cat. We'll have your party another day, maybe next weekend. Another day wouldn't be my birthday. Everything's going wrong, I cried. Ever since we moved. I hated this new house. I even hated my birthday. Most of all, I hated God for forsaking me. Oh, sorry, no, she hates the gruel. That's what she hates the most, I apologize. The gruel. G-R-O-O-L. Leaving my waffles on the plate, I ran up to my room. I snatched the gruel out of its cage and shook it as hard as I could. I warned you, I threatened. You ruined my birthday. Now you'll pay. The gruel throbbed happily in my hand, and I hurtled it back into the gerbil cage. I hate you, I shrieked. I really hate you. You and your bad luck. Plopping down at my desk, I decided I had to take action. Strong action. No birthday party, no more gruel. I'm keeping my promises, I told the creature, referring to my... Damn it. Promise ring. That was the fucking... I need to... Alright, I'm taking a huge chug of booze, hoping it'll kickstart my brain. It's like Popeye and his spinach, except for, you know, sad and slowly killing me. The gruel throbbed happily in my hand, and I hurled it back into the gerbil cage. "I hate you," I shrieked. "I really hate you. You and your bad luck." Plopping down at my desk, I decided I had to take action. Strong action. No birthday party, no more gruel. I'm keeping my promises, I told the creature as Dune realized he just read this part. I pulled a notebook out of my desk drawer and began to make some plans to get rid of it. "Daniel, it's not raining anymore," I whispered to my brother. "Come on, it's time." The gruel vibrated in its plastic container. Ba-boom. Ba-boom. Daniel glanced up from his computer screen. "Now," he asked, "give me a break, cat. I'm on level 10, and I need to slay one more troll before I can open up the treasure chest." Sounds like a shitty game. "This is important. Really important. As our nanny would say, it's muy importante," I insisted. Daniel sighed. "Do you think you should do it? You know what the book said." "I've got to," I cried. "Remember, it's the gruel's fault the killer ran away." Daniel was definitely nervous and scared, but he obediently hit the save button on the troll terror and followed me outside to the backyard. It had rained all day, but now a few stars shone high above us in the charcoal night sky. "Here, you hold the gruel," I whispered. I shoved the creature into his trembling hands. I skipped over to the garage, feeling happy for the first time in days. "I'm getting rid of the gruel," I sang to myself. I grabbed the biggest shovel I could find. I made my way back to Daniel. Then I started to dig. This had to be a serious hole. A deep hole. Something that the gruel could never, ever climb out of. A cool breeze blew around me, but digging in the damp ground was hard work. Sweat rolled down my back and forehead. I didn't feel scared at all. I had to do something to make life normal again. I had to stop all the bad luck. And if it meant burying a live sponge, then fuck it. Fine, I'll do it. I'll bury a live sponge. Who gives a shit? As long as I never have to see that stupid snickering creature again. I peered down into the hole. It seemed pretty deep. About as long as my arm. "I'm finished," I told my brother. "Pass me the gruel." Daniel silently handed me the sponge. As I held it over the deep hole, the sponge didn't throb. It didn't breathe. It didn't even feel warm. It felt dry and dead like an ordinary kitchen sponge. But I knew better. I dropped the gruel into the hole and watched as it tumbled down the steep dirt sides to the bottom. Picking up the shovel again, I began throwing dirt onto the creature. Heap after heap. Dig. Throw. Dig. Throw. Dig. Throw. Finally, the hole was filled up. I used the back of the shovel to smooth the dirt flat. "There," I said. "No one but us will know what the gruel is, but no one's... Alcohol. Do your thing. "There," I said. "No one but us will know that the gruel is buried here." I lowered my eyes to the soft, wet dirt. "Bye-bye, gruel," I called out happily. "Daniel, I think our luck is going to change now." Daniel didn't reply. I spun around. "Daniel? Daniel? Where are you?" My brother had disappeared.
Chapter 13. Ooh, yeah.
What had I done? I dropped the shovel in panic. "Daniel," I shrieked, "where are you? Had I made my brother disappear? Did burying the gruel somehow make Daniel vanish into thin air? Daniel? Daniel!" I called in a trembling voice. I heard a soft rustling sound coming from behind the garage. I crept quietly toward it. "Daniel," I whispered, "is that you?" No reply. I peeked behind the garage. Daniel sat with his arms locked around his knees, safe and sound. "Daniel!" I cried. I felt so relieved that I pinched him. "Cut it
out. I did the Uncle Joey hand motion. If you would have seen that and been a Full House fan, you wouldn't have laughed, but you would have acknowledged it like, it's that thing. That's something you just did, dude. He snapped. He leaped to his feet. What are you doing back here? I was so worried. I thought the gruel had got you. Daniel didn't reply. He lowered his eyes to the ground. What did you hide? I demanded. I was scared, he murmured. I thought the gruel might explode or fight back or something. You were scared? I asked. Why didn't you at least answer me when I called you? I thought maybe the gruel was chasing you, he confessed. His face turned red. Daniel, don't worry, I said. That poor guy was really frightened and embarrassed that he hadn't hid. I put both hands on his shoulders. The gruel is gone. It's buried deep in the ground. He swallowed hard. But what if it comes back? What if what the book said comes true? We'll never see the gruel again, I said, on page 55 of like 126. I said quietly. And don't forget, the book said gruels don't really exist. It's all made up. Just a myth. A fairy tale. Daniel sighed. I hate to admit it, but you're right, Cat, he said. At least this time. This time? I shot back. How about all the fucking time? I slugged Daniel in the arm. Ow, that hurts so much I think I'm going to pass out, Daniel cried sarcastically. He fell on the wet lawn and pretended to faint. Come on. Let's go in, I urged. You're getting soaked, and I'm covered with dirt. Daniel scrambled up and elbowed me aside. Race you, he cried, running toward the house. I leaped up the steps and beat him into the house by about a second. I slammed the screen door and held it closed so Daniel couldn't open it. I won, I shouted. Only because I let you, Daniel cried. He banged on the door like he banged on Carlo. Do you want to get in there? Here? I asked. Daniel nodded. Then say, Cat beat me fair and square, I commanded. No way, he replied. Stay out there all night then, with the gruel, I told him. I let out a ghastly howl. Okay, okay. Cat beat me fair and square, Daniel grumbled. But I'll win next time. Actually, I really didn't care about the race. I felt so glad that I buried the gruel. I would have let Daniel win 10 races. As we burst into the living room, Mom and Dad raised their eyes from their newspapers. The house smelled of fresh paint. Where were you? Dad asked. Oh, just fooling around in the yard, I replied. Is everything all right? Mom asked, with concern. You're filthy. Everything is fine, I answered. Now. Okay, go and wash up, Mom ordered. Then come back to the kitchen. Daniel and I crowded into the bathroom, leaned over the sink, pushing and bumping each other and cleaning ourselves up. Do you know what time it is? Mom asked as I raced back into the kitchen. Yes, I shouted happily. It's time for my birthday cake. Mom beamed. Well, sit right down here. I dropped excitedly into the chair she offered. Finally, I thought, things are going right for me. Daniel perched on the chair next to me. He grabbed my arm. Something bad is going to happen, he whispered. I know it. I just know it. I'm not going to let anything wreck tonight, I thought. Don't be such a wimp, I whispered. Everything's fine. At the kitchen counter, Mom hovered over the cake. She touched a match to each of the 13 candles, one for each year, and an extra one for luck. Oh no, listeners. They brought up luck. This can't be good, can it? Can it? Look, it can't. What an awesome cake. Mom had ordered it from the bakery down the street. It had all my favorites. Pink frosting roses, chocolate icing, crystal methamphetamine, and layers of strawberries. A tiny chocolate Ferris wheel sat on top. The Ferris wheel's on top of the fucking cake. Ready, Cat? Mom asked. She carried the cake to the table. Her face glowed happily in the candlelight. Dad flashed me a big grin. They all began to sing, Happy birthday, public domain version. Happy birthday, public domain version. Happy birthday. Cat, 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 it's your birthday, hey. That way they couldn't be sued by the assholes who own the rights to Happy Birthday.
I saw Daniel watching me closely as he sang. They finished the song. I shut my eyes and made my wishes. I wish Killer would come home, I said to myself, and I wish the gruel would never return, and that Daniel is wrong, that nothing bad will happen. I leaned forward, closer to the candles, and blew hard. Pop! The loud noise from the kitchen nearly made me fall into my cake. Oh, no! Then you guys could have submitted a video to America's Funniest Home Videos because every episode has someone falling into a cake and they're clearly not staged.
Chapter 14. Boy, that cork was loud, chirped Mom. She set down a tray of glasses and a large green bottle.
It's your favorite, sparkling apple cider, she announced. I know it's not as good as a day at Vanderpark. Oh, Mom, I gasped, my heart still pounding. It's great. Everything is going to be great. An excellent birthday, cake, sparkling cider, presents, two new video games, a Discman and some CDs, that'll be useless, a purple backpack, and a sweatshirt in pink and purple, my favorite colors. The night before bed, I stuffed my school books into my new backpack. I stared at the gerbil cage, empty and clean, as if the gruel had never even existed. I got rid of the disgusting creature, I thought. Happily, I really did. My family will finally be safe from bad luck. The clock in the hall room chimed 10. Time for bed. I climbed into my nightshirt and dove under the covers. When the alarm rang in the morning, I bounced out of bed and ran to the window to check on the weather. Oh, no, I uttered a low moan of horror. The backyard, it looked like a desert. Overnight, the grass had all burned brown. All the pink begonias dropped to the ground, dead and brown. Dad's red roses had shriveled and turned black. Poor Dad, I thought. He worked so hard to make the yard beautiful, and now... As I stared at the ugly, dead yard, I tried to force the thought from my mind, but deep inside I knew exactly how it had happened. The gruel. From its grave, the gruel had turned its evil powers on the lawn. It killed every single living plant, flower, and blade of grass. What should I do? I wondered, staring out at the burned, dried-out, dead, dead yard. Should I remove the gruel from the ground? Did I have a choice? Not really. I quickly pulled on my new sweatshirt and pair of jeans. Then I crept downstairs. I sneaked out to the spot where I'd buried the gruel, and I began to dig. Brown, dry leaves rained down on my head. My shoulder ached from lifting the damp, heavy dirt. My stomach didn't feel great either. When you're digging in the yard and your shit isn't hard, diarrhea. Diarrhea. When you're digging and tossing in your butt comes... You got diarrhea, boy. You got diarrhea. dig. Toss, dig, toss. The more I dug, the worse I felt. I wanted to throw the shovel down and run from the spot to leave the terrible creature buried for good. But I had to face the truth. If I left the gruel buried, it would keep on punishing me. It would punish my whole family. I dug to the bottom of the hole. Then I bent down and pushed the dirt away with both hands. Slowly, before my frightened eyes, the gruel throbbed into view, more alive and excited than ever. I should smash you with the shovel, I yelled at it. The gruel vibrated crazily, almost as if I had made it happy. Ba-boom. Ba-boom. I could hear it breathe, and then, once again, it turned from brown to pink to tomato red, and it kept changing color as it breathed. Brown, pink, red. Brown, pink, red. Black and yellow, black and yellow, brown, green, pink, red. Damn it, words not do good, mind broken. I grabbed the gruel from its grave. It pulsed so hard that it throbbed right out of my hand and fell to the ground. "Stay still," I shrieked, snatching it up. The gruel stared at me. Its tiny round eyes glowed red with evil. I shivered. I gritted my teeth and shoved the gruel into the pocket of my new sweatshirt. I trudged back to the house through the kitchen door and into the hall that led to the stairs. At the bottom of the stairs, I heard a noise. It came from my mom and dad's bedroom. They were fucking. Clearly they were fucking, I thought. I've got to hurry before they come. That's all I need. I need to leap up the stairs, taking them two at a time. Whoomp! There it is. I slipped and landed hard on my right knee. Ouch! I shrieked. I felt the gruel shake in my pocket. I heard its ugly, soft snicker. It was laughing at me. I jerked it out of my pocket and squeezed it so hard that my fingers hurt. Then I ran to my room and threw the gruel into the gerbil cage. I'll find a way to destroy you, I promised. I rubbed my aching knee and glared at the little beast. Before you can bring us any more bad luck, I will destroy you, I cried. But how? I wondered. How? Ah, my throat is burning and it's the final chapter. My name is Dune. You can reach me at Dune at DuneReadsGoosebumps.com or at Dune on Twitter or to the Facebook Dune Reads Goosebumps. Yeah, that's how you can reach me if you're interested in reaching me. Chapter 15. Kids, Aunt Louise is coming tomorrow, Mom told Daniel and me the next morning, so I want you both to clean up your rooms after school. Aunt Louise is coming, I asked. Great! Aunt Louise is my favorite aunt. Even though she's a grown-up, she's completely cool. She wears long, flowery dresses and drives a bright yellow convertible and loves drugs. And Aunt Louise blows the biggest bubble gum bubbles, and she knows a lot of really funny jokes. Mom says Aunt Louise has her head in the clouds. I guess that means she has a wild imagination. I don't know about that, but she does know a lot of things like astrology and tarot cards, and maybe about gruels. That night, I cleaned my room, and before I went to bed, I said a special good night to the gruel. My aunt is coming tomorrow, and she's going to help me get rid of you forever, I whispered. It stared up at me, breathing softly. After school the next afternoon, Daniel and I turned the corner onto our block, and we saw Aunt Louise's yellow convertible in the driveway. We ran the rest of the way home. Hey, what up? Aunt Louise called as we burst into the house. A floppy yellow straw hat covered her black, curly hair. Before Daniel could get to her, I threw my arms around Aunt Louise and whispered in her ear, "Come upstairs with me. Now. It's super important." My aunt pulled off her hat and set it on my head. She admired me in the hat. "Super important?" she asked. "Yes," I whispered, grabbing her hand and tugging her toward the stairs. "Have you ever heard of a gruel?" I asked. "A gruel? I'll have to think about that for a minute or two," she replied thoughtfully. "No, I don't think so. What's a gruel?" "Well," I explained, "Daniel found a picture in an encyclopedia, and the book said it was an ancient, mythical creature." "Well, if it's mythical, honey, that means it doesn't exist," Aunt Louise interrupted. "But it's not mythical," I cried impatiently. "I should know because I have one, and it causes trouble. Lots of trouble." Aunt Louise followed me into my room. "Have you ever heard of a lynx?" I asked. She shook her head. "That's another creature in that encyclopedia. It looks like a potato, but it has a mouth full of sharp teeth." "Good heavens, it sounds disgusting," Aunt Louise exclaimed. "But tell me about this gruel. What does it look like?" "Here, I'll show you," I said. I pulled her into my room. I pointed at the gerbil cage. The gruel squatted in the corner. Aunt Louise walked up to the cage. "So you're a gruel," she said, leaning down, reaching over to pick it up. "Wait," I cried. "Maybe you shouldn't touch it." But I was too late. And this reading is too late, you guys, because this is end of part one. You know, I'll eventually do part two. Maybe I'll wait another month just to fuck with Lax, dude. Yeah, you like that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I got nothing to complain about. Life is awesome. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to go edit this down, have a couple beers, walk Franklin, curl up in bed, read some comic books so I can discuss them on the new Comics Online podcast with the old Kevin Goswan. And everything's good. Yeah, there should be a new podcast soon, depending on this audio quality, actually, with me and superfan Giovanni, even though we already have Dune and Geo watch stuff. It's just going to be, I think, just Dune and Geo. Like, no name. Just us discussing shit. That being said, I'm going to go check in on the girlfriend's hairless cat that had his testiclites removed. So, if that's not spooky, I don't know what is. But speaking of spooky, say it with me, Franklin. Stay spooky, bitches.